Utah Arts Academy Board Meeting, December 12th, 5 p.m.
Welcome, everyone. We've got a quorum, so we're getting started here, and we'll ask Sadie to give us a roll call.
Yes, Nelson Hafen.
Here.
Sadie Vest is here. Aubrey Johnson.
Here.
Jennifer Fouché is not in attendance. Josh Little.
Here.
Victoria Wilson is still on medical leave. Brian Watabi.
Here.
Greg Grayjack is not present this evening, and Rick Schofield is not present this evening.
Thank you. Now we need to approve. Stuff gets messed up. So now we need to approve the minutes of the 14th of November 22 meeting. Hopefully everybody's read those. That was in the packet that Sadie sent out. Mm-hmm. So is there a motion to approve the minutes of the November board meeting?
I motion to approve the minutes from the November 14th, 2022 meeting.
So moved. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, second by Aubrey. Okay, all in favor of approving the board minutes from 14 November 2022, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So it's unanimous. And now we'll move right on to the student. Do you want to introduce?
This is Sophia McCausland, and she is one of our Young Arts Singer-Songwriter winners. So out of about 9,000 entries, she's one of the winners in Singer-Songwriter. So she's gonna sing one of the songs she recorded for that contest. You want to intro the song?
I guess it's just a little about like a fear of growing up. That's most of it.
Cool.
Tuck me in again. I'm a slow.
Sleep again. It was
your song have a title?
Tuck Me In Again.
Cute. Well, thank you.
Thanks. That's great.
Yeah, it's congrats.
Yeah, that's great.
Because we had how many winners? Three winners, I have.
All in singer-songwriter?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Which is awesome. Thank you.
Yeah.
You can stick around, or you don't have to.
Oh, okay.
It's really exciting.
Yeah, it is. That was super fun.
You were in the show tonight, right? Mm-hmm. Break a leg.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm not in it. I'm going to see it.
Oh, you're going to see it.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, enjoy the show.
See ya.
She's also
one
of our dancers.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So,
she started. I felt like I saw her.
Last year. She's awesome. She's got all the range.
She didn't sing or song or
not. Yeah, she's got range.
So cool.
Well, so that was great, and let's see, public comment. I don't think anybody signed up for
public comment.
Okay, so we can skip over the public comment. Let's just hop right into discussion items.
Okay.
So, Drew?
So, I mentioned December 19th, Fire Marshal. That's the drop-dead date for all the construction. That's fantastic. It was supposed to be tomorrow, but we pushed it back. And that will, that'll mean we start second semester upstairs. It's fantastic. The floors look great. It's pretty, it's pretty close to being done upstairs. The only holdup right now is the handrails for these stairs. Obviously, that's a major life-threatening problem if we don't have handrails. Yeah, so we would fail all the things. And that guy's supposed to cut tomorrow. But we've had three iron workers who have said they would do it and then drop. So that's been the biggest problem. And that's the reason to push back, but it actually ended up working great. We're working on prepping for ACT, like all of our ACT prep. That'll be 11th graders only. Aubrey's going to help me out a little bit later after the meeting to just finalize a few things. We're using the same company. They've sent all the things. It's phenomenal. I mean, it's day to day down to you go over this question and this question and this question and this question. So a lot of our teachers are pretty stoked about it because it's so detailed and it's based on lots of research. So I'm excited about that for students. The 9th and 10th graders, they'll be doing Aspire prep. So that's basically the ACT pretest that the state gives that are the state scores. That's 9th and 10th grade. So we shifted from ACT to Aspire. So they're taking, we're on UTIPS now, and they'll be taking kind of the end test and working backwards on what it is they need to prep for. So they'll be doing that same type of prep. It just won't be ACT specific.
So that's new, right? Because we used to do the ACT starting in 9th grade.
Right.
Why the shift?
Because what the state sees is the Aspire test, and it's really an ACT prep anyways. So there's not, we were testing specifically for ACT 9th and 10th grade, and what we realized is that it wasn't prepping kids for the right test at the right time, and then by the time they got to 11th grade, they were like, we've seen it, we're bored of this already. So it keeps it fresh for 11th graders. It's a 8-week sprint for ACT, and it'll bump our data gateway scores up, which will be huge. That's a big thing. If you remember, that was one of the big dings that we got hammered on when we went for the 8th grade application.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. So that was math and science.
Yeah, and that's the data gateway, and that's what Aspire does. Okay. So we're going to focus on that, get those test scores up. And those are the ones that are public. It's funny because the ACTs aren't on the data gateway necessarily the way that the Aspire tests are.
That seems silly.
Super silly.
And so why do you think the ACT prep then doesn't just prep them for the Aspire test anyway then, if it's all so similar?
It would be like, I'm trying to think of the best analogy. So it'd be like swimming. The ACT is a freestyle and the Aspire would be like backstroke. So it's still swimming. They're still doing all the laps still, but it's just a little bit different in terms of what they need.
And Aspire will prep them for the ACT too, as far as like the types of questions and the wording, but it's just more.
Yeah, because that's my worry. I'm not getting as much ACT prep in before.
No, that's still, all the strategies will be the same, but when the what they will see in Aspire prep will map to what they will see on the state test.
Because their state tests matter to us, but their ACT tests matter
to them,
and for their future. 100%. So I'm just making sure that we're doing.
Yep.
Yeah. So essentially, the Aspire is the state's version of the ACT for 9th and 10th grade.
Yep. So we're just.
I understand.
Yeah. We're just using. We're just being more strategic about understanding the state test.
Well, not so focusing so much on tests, but like, you know, we knew what the weak spots were in the test. That was math and science, and I guess we're doing everything we can to boost that.
Yep.
I think for the especially 9th graders, the content they'll see on the Aspire is more age appropriate. Where some of the parent complaints we were getting early on were, my kid is prepping for ACT as a 9th grader, and this is something they'd be learning in 11th grade.
Yeah.
So there was some parent frustration there, where this will map more to the content and the state standards they're working on.
Great.
And then I'll actually hop over Kent and just do artistic. Kyle's actually prepping for the Les Mis tonight, but Les Mis has been fantastic. We're almost completely sold out. We've got a few tickets left tomorrow night, a few Wednesday, and a few on Thursday, and then Friday's totally sold out. And Kyle said to tell you all this, but thank you. We have actually, in the history of this school, so 22 years, never had this many board members attend a performance. And it's awesome. And the kids know it, and they see you there, and it matters to them. It's super rad. So you were there Friday night. You were there opening, Tuesday. Wednesday.
Wednesday. Thursday.
I'll be there again tomorrow night.
I missed opening.
Those are Friday. It's not Josh.
Thursday.
Yeah, how'd your son like it?
Chris?
Yeah, went to prison now.
He looked a little bit less engaged.
He's 12.
that makes sense. That tracks. It's a pretty intense show. Like it's pretty adult concepts. And then we'll be jumping right. Kyle'll be jumping right into. I mean, we'll have a full slate of shows. We got a dance concert that will be coming up. A musical theater showcase, singer songwriter showcases. Kyle will be doing the Crucible set in the Dust Bowl, which will be pretty cool. So he'll be getting going on that pretty fast. So yeah, a lot. We you know, we just don't stop. So. But I think it's we call Les Mis our miracle show. There's a lot that, holy smokes, that we didn't know we didn't know if it was gonna work or not work a couple days before the show in terms of sound and some lighting things, and we had ordered some things and they hadn't come in yet, and they got in Monday before opening, and so one of the movers broke on Monday, which is always a joy because you've already spent 20 hours programming lights. So anyways, we're stoked that it launched and it's doing what it's doing.
No, it was a 4-week turnaround, right? 4 to 5 weeks?
Yeah, it was a 5-week turn, which
that's
is
fast.
Yeah, so we won't do that again. That was not a smart move. But we proved we can do it, and that's good enough for me. We just won't do it again in the future.
Say that the lighting and the audio was pretty sweet in there.
Yeah, so the whole audio is run through Dante, Cat 6. And on Thursday before the show opened, we had nothing. And I came in against all the doctor's orders and just tried to troubleshoot, and we figured it out probably within 2 hours. And then I went home and went back to bed. But it was, there were just things that we've never had to deal with. I don't know of outside of, I mean, Tuacon's Dante, Hale Center, I believe is, but I don't know of any other house right now in Utah that's Dante enabled. And
kids are running that?
Uh huh.
That's awesome.
Which is incredible, yeah. So this summer we're going to actually certify a couple of students in Dante. So that, which I don't, as far as I knew, there was only one Dante certified person in Southern Utah, and that was Tilby. So if we can, that's huge, because that's the future of sound. So pretty cool stuff that's happening. So any questions about school stuff?
Are you going to bring up the bus?
Oh, yeah. So we've got, I have spent more time looking at buses than ever I thought would be possible in one human existence. So here's what we kind of found. Buses are interesting, particularly school buses. There's thousands and thousands and thousands of school buses that are on sale for like $1,000, maybe $2,000. The reason that is because they have to go to auction. So if we sold our buses, we actually have to put them up for auction, and you have to sell them at $1,000 or sometimes even $1. And that's just how state auctions work, because it was used taxpayer money, and it's kind of a big hassle. And so typically what you find is districts, big districts, will turn their bus fleets over quite a bit. That's how we got the buses that we currently have. They're high mileage and high use, and you can get them for $1,000, maybe $2,000, and you'll put $5,000 to $6,000 just to get them up and running and tires. And so this company out in Vegas basically buys them on auction, they refurbish them, they get them set up so they're ready to ride. A new bus, Kent, is?
The new used bus is $27,500.
No, like a new school bus.
$180 for one, and then if you want to do electric, there's some stuff that's out there for like $350.
Yeah. So when we look, this comes from a company, they do all the inspections. So $27,500 is the cost. They do all the inspections, they work through all the things. And so this will be our newest bus and lowest mileage bus. And typically buses get around 300,000 to 400,000 miles on it, is typically what it is. But our old bus, basically the engine blew. This other yellow bus that we have is limping. I think we can get it, you know, another year or two. And then the white bus actually just broke down on Thursday. So, but
we borrowed a bus today.
So we borrowed a bus. But we're about 50 students ride a bus every day, which is the most we've probably ever had consistently since I've gotten here. And 50 times 6,000 is, that's a lot of, so I think it's a solid investment. I think, and we have more students from the Little Valley area and from the Hurricane area than we've ever had. So, and they're the furthest away. So I think it's important to families that we have a bus, that it's working, and that it's reliable. And so I think this is a good investment.
Buying the bus that way, is there any sort of guarantee? Do they?
Warranty?
There's no warranty of any kind?
No,
it's as is, but they have their techs look at it. It's not gonna be available till this Friday. But there's just like a little, they're checking the air conditioning unit to make sure there's nothing wrong with it. And
who's the they? This company or
yeah,
something?
Company.
And there's a way to look into this company, I'm sure, as far as like their
reputable.
They're
pretty
reputable. Are they like any bus mechanic or something at the school district that we could borrow for a day?
We actually have a guy, right?
To check it out?
Yeah, so Captain, one of our guys who helps ride buses, I mean, he's been a mechanic his whole life. And Greg has actually run a bus company. He ran the bus company for Vista. And both Greg and Captain go down and pick it up and run it and look at it and go through the whole thing for us. In terms of like mechanic stuff, I trust Captain pretty well. The issue is that that's how much we've spent on the yellow bus just fixing it up. Buses are not fun. That a lot of schools don't even want to get in the bus industry because they're a pain.
So do you have two buses going on?
Right now we have one bus that runs. It's ours that is running.
But I mean, if you had it, you're going to have two.
But you have
two routes.
We have two routes.
One goes north and one goes southwest or whatever, east or whatever.
Yep.
And that's possible.
We actually checked with Washington County School District before we went to Vegas. We checked Salt Lake, we checked all over, and right now Washington County is worried about one of our buses, but they're all out of inventory, even they do use one. So we just went the next closest place, so that's why we're...
Is this like a full-size thing?
Yeah, 88 seat with the undercarriage.
It's 56 for these kids. If you do like elementary school,
yeah,
three to seat.
And we'll feel like this bus is reliable enough to like...
drive to
put our dance team on and take
And they've been driving in Vegas, so the air conditioning works great and heaters work great. That's one of the keys.
And it's got the undercarriage storage, which none of our buses have.
Oh, nice.
That's
which
huge.
Is huge.
Yeah, that's
so they call this, officially they call it a school bus activity bus. So it's, I mean, I think it's always kind of a crapshoot on buses, but.
Are you financing? How you put it?
There's some for it.
Oh. Is there financing available? Do we want to get that?
Yeah, the rates were really high, so we just thought we've got someone in the checking account, let's just get it. I mean, we're trying to also get some additional donations. It's always nice to have donations. And we actually had someone who's willing to, she mentioned that she would match other people's donations. She's a really good matcher of donations.
He did?
So, anyway.
Well, that's
good. And then are you Nate too?
But Nate doesn't. We have a dance.
Do we need some kind of approval then?
We already did.
We did last time. I just
we're just giving you an update.
Okay.
We went through and made sure everyone approved of that purchase already.
Yeah, so we're good.
And then we have a dance on Saturday, the Sadie's dance. That's at the rink. From 9 to 11.
Over in Green Valley.
Yeah.
Green, yeah.
Yeah. Green Valley.
My hoop's on fire, whatever. Yeah.
Kevin.
Good. Chris. I hate to be pushing so fast, but I know we've got to get
two quick highlights. For me, we hired two people in my two departments. We hired Kelsey Norton almost a month ago now. She is a former English teacher. Just came down from Bear River Middle School, so kind of had stopped teaching just at the end of that last year, come down here and figuring things out. We were looking for a para, as we talked about a couple board meetings ago. She actually has an administrative license as well. So she's actually, we really put her to work beyond that para job with administrative opportunities and just giving her the chance to kind of show everything she's got. She has been absolutely awesome.
Was she doing tickets with you the other night? Is that
no.
the one I meant? That's somebody else.
No, that's, yeah.
Okay.
Different intern.
Okay.
Kelsey's doing, she is just plugging away with a lot of my IEP students. They're struggling at the most, kind of. She's got like a specific group she's working with, and she is tremendously observant and sharp at what she's doing, and is kind of building in some new things, and we're trying to give her as much rein as she can to do that. The other hire is Jeremy Olson. He's a new IT technician. Jeremy's a student at Utah Tech right now. He's actually starting in the next few days. That was initially planned to start January 4th when we get into the new semester. And so we're trying to plug him in as we get going. And
full-time?
He will
part-time. And he's going to school?
For our previous technician that moved on. So. But yeah, a couple of great hires and that are going really well. So,
Kelsey
Norton.
Was it?
Yep.
And Jeremy Olson.
Yep.
Very good.
All of those
two great hires.
Yeah.
Good.
So
we're fully staffed then. Everything's good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is that it?
That's what I've got.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interest of time, we Sadie sent this out to everybody. It's a real quick read from Brian Carpenter. It's interesting, he talked about a school in San Diego, because I've read some of his other stuff. He goes in a lot more detail about this school, but he talks about the three duties, duty of loyalty, oversight, and obedience. I just thought the example he used on page two, this one school that was actually pretty high performer, but they just were violating all these rules, and the principal wouldn't even let the district the district's charter school manager. He escorted him off the premises, which is stupid. I mean, that's like telling a health inspector at a restaurant and take, you know, escort him off your, you know, that's not real bright. But anyway, if you just take a few minutes just to read through this, if we approve Brian, too many Brians, I'm getting them mixed up here. If we approve Dr. Carpenter's proposal tonight, you know, we'll get into some of this stuff and we'll have it to where it's pretty wired down for us in the future. So I don't really have, that's just a quick read tonight. There's nothing, you know, amazing about that.
I think I'll add 2 cents to this.
Sure.
I think it's interesting, you know, when you look at, I mean, I was involved in a pretty intense case in Tennessee with the state's best women's basketball coach. And I think when you have a record like that, you're the best, and you have the record to prove that you're the best, I think a lot of times, you know, things like that get overlooked, whether it's, you know, simple things or not. And there's 2 things. One, the coach or the principal or the board, whatever entity, you know, kind of gets to a place where they think they can do whatever they want because the scores look so good or the record looks so good. And I always think that's kind of a big red flag. But then I also think too that, you know, the community is a lot less likely to, they're a lot more likely to say, well, it's high performing, and so I'm going to ignore the negativity or the negative aspects of said organization just because I know it's high. They've won year after year after year after year, so we'll ignore this. And I guess my kid will just have to deal with that because they're high performing. And I think it actually happens quite often.
Well, I was looking at all these things that did violate. Like, I mean, Sadie keeps us in line on the first one, you know, the open meeting stuff. But, you know, like, I couldn't believe this, you know, inappropriate relationships between teacher and student. I mean, I know that admins are all over that, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Faulty financial statements, legal requirements, all kinds of stuff. I mean, you know, in a prior life, being on the board, we just about got our funding revoked 1 year, and
yep.
And we had to get that situation taken care of. So that's why we appreciate, you know, timely and great financial and all the other, you know, there's so many things. I don't think we realize how many hoops you guys have to, and boxes you have to check, and things can go south real fast if it's not done right. So anyway. So if everybody just take time just to read through that. We only got about just a few minutes because Brian's got a book. But last, we just have one action item. Sadie included in the packet Dr. Carpenter's proposal. And I don't know, I did get feedback from Rec on it. You know, he thought that was a really good thing. I've read a lot of Carpenter's stuff. I was in a meeting with one of the state things I get all the time, I don't know. They used his training in that board meeting. So Brian Carpenter is a, you know, pretty heavyweight guy. I mean, I don't think there's anybody better out there. I think he is the best. And I reviewed his proposal, and it's really funny. Even in his proposal, he's always worried about, you know, doing everything exactly correct. I highlighted. So on page 8, you know, he just said the proper procedure to decide on this proposal. He made me bring it up last time to get approval to get the proposal. Now we have the proposal. And so I'm just going to follow, I just would like to put, unless somebody else would like to make the, unless we want to discuss it more. Maybe
does
before
anybody have any questions?
Yeah,
it was
yeah,
sent out
yes.
prior to this meeting, so you should already have this
yes.
proposal and you should already
and
have
I read,
it. So
I've reviewed it and read the whole thing too.
So if you have any questions, I did as well, so I have any
well,
questions.
Well, one of the things that came up in our last meeting that, you know, we talked about, I can't remember the exact specifics, but we just talked about, we were in quite a rush to, you know, I mean, we put the school together really fast, you know, mm-hmm. the bylaws, everything. There was something, Sadie, that you, I remember you saying something, we need to make sure when we adjust bylaws or do something that we needed to have that in. I'm trying to even remember. I remember you saying
stuff. Yeah,
so.
I know.
So, but bottom line is, Dr. Carpenter is, you know, the way I understand it, it's going to be like a Friday evening kind of thing. We'd have dinner and training, and then it'd be a part of a Saturday kind of thing. We'll have to set that time with him fairly soon, so we'll have to pull there if we approve this. So he'll do intensive board training, but he does an intensive audit, and that to me, that was pretty interesting because he's really looking at everything. I think we're sending him all of our documents, so we're sending the bylaws, we're sending him all the stuff, and I mean that's his life.
Oh, I remember what it was.
Okay.
Like even our meeting schedule, mm-hmm. like it says in our bylaws that we hold every other month meeting.
Right.
So even our bylaws need to be adjusted as we make adjustments.
Well, and we even talked about adjusting something tonight. Not doing December.
So we just need to make sure that we're making those adjustments to the bylaws and then we're making a motion to
adjust
keep
the
bylaws up to date.
Yeah.
So and I think he's gonna do a deep dive into all that stuff.
And what I liked about this, and that's why I wrote it in the email, on top of Dr. Carpenter training the board, he's also doing basically a SWOT analysis on the school. And we spent five grand doing that before. That's also, it's actually in our bylaws to do that every other year. So that, I think that $5,000 that we spend is something that we needed to do anyways. This is an accreditation year, so it's kind of a SWAT with accreditation, so we're hoping to do it next year. But I think that at the end of the day, it's an evaluation of the school, of me as a principal, of the administrative team, how it's put together, of the teachers, of the board. I mean, it's comprehensive, this, what he's doing. And to get an outside perspective, I mean, that's, when we had Rich come and do that up the canyon, that was massive because it took 3 days and confirmed so many things, and then all of a sudden it, you know, it was like, uh oh.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, you know, it'll give us direction even if we did it every couple of years, something like this. So I think it's the right thing to do for the health of the school.
Well, I think it's foundational, and it's like, especially like when we get new board members, it's like, what do we do? What are we supposed to do? You know, and it's like, all I remember is we signed some kind of a conflict of interest thing,
mm-hmm.
but that's kind of all we had. And, you know, I think this is just a foundational thing that we need to do. So, in the interest of time, unless there's more discussion, any other comments or thoughts or
any other questions?
Like I say, Rich, Rick called me after he'd read, and he goes, "Wow, I think this is amazing." You know, that was his. I mean, he's not here to say that, but that's what told me. So, I would like to make a motion. Then I'm just going to read exactly what he says. I move the board accept the proposal dated 11/21/22 from Dr. Carpenter. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Brian. Let's see, do we have to do this individually?
No.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. This is approved then, and then he will, I can take the lead. I know you're fully busy on this. I'll work with you too. We have to send money,
okay.
And we have to, he only gives us so long to approve, otherwise So I think it's because he's busy, and so we need to schedule some dates. So I think he'll give us some dates. I'll throw them out to everybody.
Okay.
We'll try to schedule something and go from there.
We need to get to the financials
leaves
because
I'm
we
sorry.
Have to approve them.
I'm sorry. Yes. I don't know why I jumped.
It's okay.
Oh, because we jumped. We jumped over you,
yeah,
and I forgot
okay.
to jump back.
I'm
so
okay.
sorry.
Did you have something?
I think we have to approve them already. Maybe not. Maybe I'm.
We do have to do that definitely for the audit and those things.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe
so this is just a review from. Or are you done? You want me to go ahead and.
No, sorry, Ken.
It's not going to be that long anyway. Again, just reviewing current fiscal year on the left side versus last year's fiscal year. And it's basically from July to.
February and July.
I think I forwarded the wrong
one. Well, you have an adjusted one, too.
I did. I sent everyone, but I sent this one to all of you.
To everyone?
I sent you. Yeah, that's not the right one. Sorry, Drew.
It's all right.
So basically, you have the numbers. I sent them to you if you wanted to pull them up. But this number is actually 160, 109, because this is actually due September. I must have sent, you the forwarded
one. He emailed out the correct one to all of us.
Yeah, you sent stuff to us.
Oh, perfect. Then you see what a Promethean board's all about. I can learn.
Thanks for bringing me back. We jumped over in my toilet space.
Okay, now we can write.
I'm just stressed over time.
I'm raising, I don't know if this isn't a marker.
Yeah.
Okay. This is 160.
You can jump out if we don't have
any
time.
Yeah, Brian, if you got to go. Thanks for being here.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, Brian.
We have all these Promethean boards in boxes to go up.
Oh, upstairs.
Yeah.
Well, you have like 29,000 air cleaners, air purifiers.
So many air purifiers.
Everything I walk, I mean, it's you don't even. I don't see them. Oh yeah.
It is there. Those are all just. State, you guys sent those to us.
Every state
week.
How many rays? Oh, I've never seen that before.
Is that no?
You missed this one.
The left. This
one. Wow. Nine. It's like a higher spring. So, I mean, how do you guys do this? It is kind of
good. In fact, we can start putting those up, Chris.
Because the installation fixes.
Alright, okay. So 160 versus 109 last year, 1.3 million from the state, 1.4 million last year. Again, we had a mid-year adjustment, so now we're getting less from the state based on enrollment. And then we did receive federal grants. We just didn't receive them last year at this time, but they're going to be really similar. I think we ended up getting them in January. So bottom line is for revenue, 1.566 to 1.583, really, really similar comparing the two. Okay, you know that. Any questions on that?
No, but I have a question. The thing that we were doing through TuaCon, the monies, what the heck is it called?
Transfer?
No.
The
refund
of your
ERC. Employee retention card. We're still waiting.
So we don't know anything yet still?
No. There's supposed to be the end. Well, the one we did before that was on our own, it takes up to 6 months before we get the money.
Okay.
But they were supposed to finish theirs at the end of November
okay.
for both of ours. And then we got to wait 6 months anyway to get it.
So but we will know
we have
something.
A number yet, though?
We don't have a number on that one yet.
On the TuaCon.
The TuaCon we don't. The other one we did, and I sent it to you. What was it? 190, you know, 180
yeah.
something.
Yep.
Minus
Matt?
The money with the pay.
Oh, minus. So it'd be what, 150, 140?
Get to come out to real close to that. Because then we have to pay a 15%.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah.
Just like finding the money, though. So that's
I like to find
okay.
money.
Yeah.
There's any other questions on this one? Can you go to the next page? Wait. Or do I go race up first? Oh, nice. Sweet. Okay, you keep going. All right, let's adjust the numbers here really quickly. This is the 1.5. One thing I did put in here.
What are the dates?
Okay, right here. Thank you.
Release.
November.
Thank you.
30. November 30. And these are construction costs that we'll put in. This is 1.1. And up here was just 75,000 because last year, this time, we didn't have a whole lot of construction costs going on at the year ago. So, but we had net
loan proceeds, this time just under one, or just over one. And then there's that same thing there, so this comes out to 132K. No, here's 566K. That makes any sense. Again, the revenue is 1.5 from the previous page, 1.2. Basically, expenses were pretty identical, within 50,000. But we had construction costs of 1.1 million versus only 75,000. And then the loan proceeds that basically washed out the construction costs. So that's why we ended up with 132,000 versus 566, just compared year to year. Can you scroll up a little bit? Will that also
move
this?
It'll move that too.
Okay. Just go ahead and erase it then. Scroll. And so then down here, if we just want to get a more clear picture, and again, I'll just put up here, before it was 132. Okay, and this was 566K. That's what was from above.
And the biggest difference between that was the Tuakon asset transfer.
Correct. So again, all we're going to do is if we subtract out again the payments for construction, just to get a more accurate picture of how we're managing our money, so to speak. And loan proceeds be one just over a million. That's not there. And it's the same. So this is like 171K versus 211.
And on that loan, are we interest only right now? And when does it
No, go we started into? We started with State Bank. We just paid principal this last month. And
okay. So we're fully
combined is like $9,000.
Okay.
$6,000 for principal and I think $3,000 for interest. So
Is it a fixed loan?
No, it adjusts, but they've been working with us and keeping it fairly low.
Okay.
We'll also have to do principal interest on the school's loan from USBE starting in February.
That's pretty low, right?
Yeah,
low
it's
low
really low.
Yeah.
So anyway, there's kind of where we stand. Again, we're being as frugal as we can with the money we have and grateful we're able to get the loans that we did get that cover the cost of construction.
And so, do we see the light at the end of the tunnel on construction costs? I mean, do
yeah,
we?
Yeah, I went through all of that. I think we're around, what we have left is just over $200,000, I'm hoping. Unless there's always something else that comes in that you never know. Sometimes
okay.
They send in a bill for a handrail that might be $80,000. I have no idea what that's going to cost. But anyway, any other questions about this?
And then just to let you know, that Giving Tuesday, y'all, thank you. That was 12-275 is what it ended up being.
Yes, that Giving Tuesday. So
that was an awesome thing. Brian calls me up and it's just like, oh. And so.
Yeah, it just.
That was
all on Brian.
John Sato just blew my
phone. Sorry, John.
Yeah, John blew my phone up on Monday
up.
And I was feeling pretty awful. And I was like, I'll just do it. Just stop calling. But I'm so glad that he did because and what's interesting is that we had a lot of donations from new families.
Cool.
Which is really cool.
If we get on that a little sooner next year and we do a little more advertising beforehand, I bet we could
bet
we could double.
I was thinking that same thing. That
I think
that
so
we got to be all over it.
Yeah.
You know, a month ahead of time.
Yeah.
Buying it. Yeah.
I mean, it was great. It was fantastic. But
I think we tried last year.
See it coming.
Zero. I was at home, and Chris just kept saying, "There's another 150."
Or a thousand.
A thousand. And I was just like, "What is happening? This is so awesome!" So, anyways, thank you for all the donations.
That's
good.
That was all on John.
Yeah. Well, you ought to look into your next year, people who will match. People will match on that day, potentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we could get
really,
a few more matchers.
That could really turbocharge it.
Yeah.
I was telling Ken today that one of my goals over holiday break and into the beginning of January is to really get the Building Futures Giving campaign.
And it's always the Tuesday following
Black Friday.
Black Friday, right? So I'm gonna look what the date will be coming up next year.
So maybe we talk about it in the October meeting.
Yeah, it's gonna be November 28th of next year.
Nobody's about to almost die. That's our goal.
I'm just going to make a note of that so we can keep it in mind.
That needs to be in October meeting. Yeah, we're done with the health things, so there's no... Yeah. We're done.
And here's the good health news is we've got baby Mason, healthy little boy.
That's right.
Sarah.
Yes.
And Notton as cute as a button, and just as healthy as can be. And so
that was last Tuesday, right? The day before she was going to be induced.
Yeah. Tuesday.
Cool. That's awesome.
It was Wednesday morning at 3 a.m.
Yes, that's what.
Oh, that was her induction day then. So
she was Wednesday morning.
Yeah.
3 p.m.
Okay.
It was almost opening of late this really.
Cool. So it'll be back. Good to have her.
Yeah.
All the way back.
Yep. So she's good spirits.
You all the way back.
Kent all the way back.
Right. Maybe one of these days we'll get Vicky all the way back.
She's fighting.
So
God bless her.
Okay. Awesome. Is there anything else that needs to come up before we adjourn? Appreciate everybody being here because we need everybody. So thank you.
We need a motion to adjourn.
I'll motion to adjourn before we hit 6 o'clock.
Do we need a second?
Second.
Okay.
Josh will second.
Okay. Let's see. It's been a motion to adjourn and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Thank you.
This was a record.